Welcome to Evolve to Succeed, the podcast that brings together business owners, leaders, and experts to talk about their business journeys and provide them with invaluable insights and explore the link between personal and business success. I am your host, Warren Munson, founder of Evolve. I previously founded, grown, and successfully exited three businesses in the business services and technology sectors. I have a passion for helping and advising businesses and seeing them succeed. We all know that leading and running a business comes with its own unique joys and challenges, and Evolve provides the advice, guidance, and support to the business, you and your teams on that journey, be that if you're starting, growing, or looking to exit or step away from your business. We do this through our Ignite, Thrive, and Optimize programs and services, which includes strategic advice, coaching and mentoring, leadership training, funded business support, and so much more. If you want to learn more about Evolve, then please do go to evolveadvisory.co.uk or connect and message me on LinkedIn. For now though, let's just get on with the show. This week, I'm talking to Jack Bradley, national award-winning designer and founder at Zenscape, which creates next-generation travel gear to help people explore the world. Jack and Zenscape's mission is to challenge the status quo and make life on the move simple. Jack's own entrepreneurial journey began in 2016 during a European backpacking trip. Inspired by the challenges of constantly moving and searching through backpacks, he envisaged a solution for far more efficient travel. Starting with sketches in the back of a diary, Jack's backpack concept started taking shape, and eventually, after numerous prototypes, a unique backpack which keeps items organized and easily accessible, as well as transforming into a hanging wardrobe, was born. Jack has just started a Kickstarter campaign and recently hosted a launch event at the Foundry. Our conversation is a great warts and all account of that entrepreneurial journey, from that original idea to realizing the product and getting it to market. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome, Jack, to the Evolve to Succeed podcast.
Thank you very much for having me on here. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. I'm really excited to share with our listeners a little bit about your story. You're in mid-Kickstarter campaign at the moment, so yes. I think a very timely time for you probably to come on the podcast. But we should probably give our listeners a bit of a background. So you are on Kickstarter, but what is the company and product that you have and you've launched and you're raising funding for?
Yes, so I'm raising funding for the Zenscape Travel Backpack. So it's a new kind of innovative product which enables you to live easier on the move. So I've traveled a fair bit myself and I've kind of been used to living out of a backpack, and it can be very frustrating, very messy, kind of lose items and just a waste of time. And I feel like there must be a more efficient way of doing that. I guess for me, it kind of goes back to my kind of mission of what I'd like to do. I want to kind of encourage more people to travel and to see the world.
Okay.
And as a product designer, I feel my kind of gift of how I can give back is to build better products to kind of enable people to travel easier and to make life on the move more simple.
Okay. So listeners, you might just want to go on to Google and the web and find the product and have a quick look to get an outline of it. So what's the website?
So zenscapetravel.com. So that's Zenscape travel.com.
Okay.
And then also there's the Kickstarter. If you search Kickstarter, Zenscape Travel, you can also find it on there as well.
Perfect. So for people that aren't by their computer, they're perhaps listening on the car, walking the dog or on a run. So what is unique about this product? You know, yes. How would you best describe it as being this kind of unique backpack?
Yes. So if you imagine almost like a hanging wardrobe, I guess, inside a backpack that compresses into a carry-on size backpack is probably the best way to envision it. So yeah, it's the simplest bag to live from on the move ever is the idea behind it. So yeah, backpack with a wardrobe inside kind of thing.
Okay, yeah. Cool. And you talk about, you know, wanting to inspire people to travel. Mm-hmm. When was the spark? When was the moment that you, perhaps with a product design background, really came up with this idea? Can you pinpoint it?
Yes, yeah, I can pinpoint it, yeah. Yeah, so me and a friend, we went backpacking across Europe, so we went on an Interrail trip. So on the train's coming back, So we flew out to Istanbul, just the two of us, and then we had kind of the mission to get back to the UK, going overland back. So we were kind of staying 2 or 3 days in all these kind of amazing cool cities and bits. And yeah, we just seemed to be constantly unpacking, repacking. I was like, there must be an easier way to do this. Like, how is the bag not developed beyond kind of, yeah, so it's more like living at home, essentially. So it was actually, I think it was on a train somewhere in Eastern Europe, probably, where I kind of first, couldn't sleep, and I was kind of thinking a way to do it. I kind of first had the vision for it. And then, I kind of sketched it in the back of a diary, went to sleep, didn't think too much of it. And then kind of later on in the trip, revisited it. And then this was before I went back to university for my final year project. So I decided, you know what, I think this has got like real potential as a product. And I decided to then develop it as my final year project at university, which then went on to win an award as well, a national award at New Designers from Berghaus. So yeah, definitely.
Berghaus.
Definitely played out quite well. So yeah.
That did work out. Some things are serendipity, aren't they? But
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And as you went into that final year, did you ever think you'd look to commercialize it? Or was it just something that was kind of unique, quirky, great final year product, you know, project, doing something that you love in a space in which you love? Did you have that desire from day one to commercialize it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd always kind of, once I started developing it, I realized the potential it had.
Okay.
So then it was kind of getting it to a stage where it's ready, and then kind of sharing it with the world when it was eventually ready.
Yeah.
I've always had that as a vision. In fact, so my time at Berghaus, I was kind of trying to push it there, but it just didn't really fit into their brand. I feel like with this kind of product, it's quite a new kind of innovative, cool product.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more of a startup, young kind of brand.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's kind of better aligned.
Okay. So did you work within Berghaus as well?
Yes. Yeah. So I worked, Pentland Brands, so it's an award from Pentland Brands, who own Berghaus. So they also own like Lacoste footwear and a few other brands. So it was kind of a real eye-opener, I guess, into the product design kind of world. Slightly more textile-based than what I've done in the past. But it kind of, it was a real eye-opener. So,
So what was your first, and what year was this? What was the first step towards commercialization, Jack?
Yes. So the final year project was in 2017.
Okay.
So I then decided to, after my time with Pentland, to go off and travel, believe it or not. So
did you take your backpack with you?
Unfortunately, I didn't have a working prototype at that point I could take away. But I mean, it kind of made me realize how much more potential this has, because I was then living out of a normal bag, and then when I was traveling, I could kind of relate to all these other issues that people were having and being like, oh, there is a solution. it's here now, but it's just trying to get it to that stage. But yeah, that also kind of like opened my eyes, I guess, to I think how important like travel is. I think if anyone's thinking of traveling, or I just think you've just really got to go for it. Like, the growth you can have as a person and kind of the independence you develop from that, I think is really, really important. I think if more people travelled, I think we'd live in a better world.
Yeah.
I think it really kind of,
that's a profound belief, isn't it?
Yeah,
I can see that in your eyes.
yeah.
Definitely. And so 2017, right, you know, go travelling again, ready to go with the project. How do you ever get started with trying to bring something like this to market?
Yeah. I think looking back, I didn't realize how hard it would be.
Okay. Yeah, so 7 years.
Yeah,
seven
years. Eight years from the first one on the train to kind of to now. Okay. So obviously I wasn't working on it the whole time. I was kind of off doing other bits, but it's kind of started with the idea to now. So for me, being a product designer, I figured if I build an awesome product, I can kind of figure out the rest and learn as I go. So I actually went off. So I went to Staffordshire University, and I've basically went back to there to do a startup course. And there was also a grant available through that. So that was hugely helpful. So that was in 2019.
So you had to compete to get onto the course,
yes.
I assume, it's grant-based. Yeah,
so competition again, to get on there.
But and that's then, reaffirmation that you've got a good idea.
Through the journey, there keeps being stages where, because obviously it is quite scary, right? Because I'm putting a lot on the line. Like, I'm not necessarily working on my design career, which I could be. I'm focusing time and effort on this backpack to somebody, which also doesn't make a lot of sense.
So,
just around it. So there has been times where it's kind of been doubts, but it's there's been tied to the journey.
When you do get those, get on that course, yeah, win the awards, it's affirmation that you're doing the right thing and you've got something tangible.
Yeah, yeah. And then it kind of goes back to the vision of kind of I want to encourage more people to travel and see the world. And I think if there's a clear vision, then it kind of, it really helps when there's like times where I'm kind of, I don't know, at home and something hasn't worked out and I'm kind of by myself. I'm like, oh, this just isn't going to work. And then to reassess where I'm going and kind of step back and be like, you've got to think long term. It's going to happen. Obviously with the Kickstarter, big risk. £30,000 for an unknown product is a huge new brand, huge risk. But I think it's got so much potential. I'm confident in it. It's just getting it out there.
How do you get it to market?
So
you're really, you know, 8 years in. You've got the product. We've got one on the table here, so I'm kind of looking at it now. I've got the benefit of being able to see it. You got the product. There, it's ready to go. It's now about launching, raising money, making it a business, as it were.
Yes, my life is now marketing, basically. So it's transitioned from design. Trying to get it out there. So we're kind of working on a few kind of PR ideas and working with some kind of influencers and bits to really push it now. So obviously being a small startup, it's quite difficult because developing the products is really not cheap. So it's kind of, trying to make sure the funds are best spent, basically, what limited funds there are. So,
okay. So if we go back, I'm also intrigued to the startup course grant at Staffordshire University. So what benefits did you gain from that? And is it something you'd recommend others thinking about starting a business should do?
Definitely. So I'd say probably the best part of it was, well, there's kind of a few elements, but the community, really, really important. And also we got a mentor as part of our course, which again, just every month kind of be relaying information and just to hear the feedback and to kind of keep you focused on your goals was really useful. So that definitely helped. And then obviously the grant money as well to help getting some more prototypes basically made. So when I started this project, I could not sew. I now can. I wouldn't say I'm particularly the best. That was my kind of almost leading into kind of lockdown now. But I had to learn to sew to keep the cost down and to get as many prototypes out there to develop the product as quick as possible on a shoestring in a way.
So for like many of us, you know, COVID just interrupted everything. For you, I suppose, we talk about this long journey, but that must have been an 18-month, two-year kind of void period.
Yeah, I mean, if there's ever a sign not to launch a travel business, I felt like COVID coming along, so it's like, right, okay, this project's going to have to go on hold. And then I was still working on it, but in other ways. So, for example, in the evening, I'd be working on bits, and obviously, career-wise, I kind of revisited design. In the meantime,
so you went back into employment at that point.
So I've kind of been in and out of employment with jobs at different times, usually kind of design focused. So, originally, when I growing up, I kind of wanted to go into to boat design, weird enough. So quite a change on that now, right? So I went to work for a shipyard down in Cornwall. So I was working in their kind of design technical department. So the great thing about product design is the amount of industries you can work in is just it's incredible. But I feel like it's also really useful because you have all these ideas that you can then bring from one industry to another. And obviously there's bits you have to learn along the way. But
eyes to the world.
I mean, creativity is kind of like connecting dots, right, from all these different places. So I feel like that's...
Well, I'm really intrigued because people talk about side hustles. This has been more than a side hustle for you. This has been a commitment. But there's times when it must have felt like a side hustle. By the sound, you've gone from like getting educated, getting support, committing to it, then going into employment, and you just not park it, but tick it along. Then right, okay, I've got some more funding, I've got some more resource behind me. And then full time, then sort of back in. Is that how it's been? And how's that felt?
It's been quite, I think, especially with COVID, that was, so I guess the entrepreneur kind of journey, especially for me, I found is full of highs and lows.
Yeah, it's not linear in any sort of way.
When you step back and you look at it, yes. But like when you're in the moment, it's like, wow, it's not at all. So I think for me, the COVID was kind of the low. Like I'd just been doing this business course, the product was coming together nicely, the other parts of the business were starting up. And then this happens and it's like, oh, the whole thing's got to be put on pause again.
Yeah.
And then I kind of got to change what I'm doing, which... when my mind's still on this goal of launching this travel brand and having this first product launched. So it has been a side hustle in a way, I guess, but it's... Yeah,
well, it's been far more than a side hustle,
especially
isn't it? But at times
it
must have felt like that.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're in a job,
boatyard,
you've kind of got to be like, I'm in here.
Yeah, and this leads on quite well to the freeing up time of... Yeah. So it's really difficult to free up enough time to work on a startup business like this. So this is where I had to kind of pivot a bit.
So freeing up time. At what point then? How long ago did you go, right, no, I am all in now. I am going to go for it. And again, was there a moment, a recognition or spark that went, okay, if I'm going to do this, I've got to be all in?
Yeah, yeah. So... I guess this would be kind of 2023. So I realized, so I had kind of a secure design job. I was working for Sunseeker, a boat manufacturer. Okay. This was kind of like my dream job, I guess, growing up, which was awesome. But then at the same time, I had this kind of like, this kind of desire to start this brand, this travel equipment brand.
Yeah.
And I realized I couldn't do both. I couldn't have the full-time job and be working on this in the evenings. It just wasn't enough time to make progress on it. So I, at that point, realized this is one of the things, if I regret it, if I don't do it, I'll really regret it. So I kind of took the gamble. I left the position there to try and find part-time work to then free up kind of ideally 3 days a week to work on this. It was hard at the time. A lot of people around me were kind of like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But I mean, the position I'm in now, like, obviously I'm happy I've taken that risk. I took that risk. But at the time it was, there was a lot of late evenings of, have I done the right thing?
So I was going to just say, has there ever been that moment of doubt that you thought, perhaps I should have just pursued the kind of boat building?
Yeah, I'd say it happens quite a bit,
And how do you, what self-talk do you use to get yourself through that? Because I think that we all have those doubts, don't we? It's human nature.
Yeah, I think I go back to again, with the vision, with kind of encouraging more people to travel.
Yeah.
So I kind of revisit that. And I also, usually when I've had, I feel like that, it's because there's a lot going on at the time. So I guess this kind of goes on to your mental health in a way.
Yeah.
So for me, I love to do a lot of sports and stuff. So I take myself out to go and, to go and do some kind of exercise, to start focusing more on like eating better, or even like just getting earlier nights.
Yeah.
And I feel like just keep your head down, keep going, start to do these kind of things, and then you feel better.
Yeah.
So it's usually I've kind of pushed too far, at which point it's then...
Sort of that burnout
stage. Yeah, exactly.
You try and do too much, then a bit of self-care.
Yeah.
Get your head straight.
Yeah.
Off you go again.
Yeah. And you'd be amazed how, like, it's almost, I guess, with like the 80-20 principle of how much time you spend doing bits, but you'd be amazed how when you are doing sport or kind of doing more bits, but not necessarily working the whole time, how much more productive you can actually be.
Yeah.
If you're balancing everything well, because I think I'm sometimes get caught up of like just working flat, like for the whole week, the whole weekend, it's fine. I've got to get something done. I'll do it. But then actually when I step back and I really try and force myself to
find that.
I mean, Saturdays I'll go and do a park run or something like just to go and get yourself out there and kind of, exercise, meet more people. And it really helps.
So the brand's called Zenscape, isn't
yes,
it?
Yeah.
So where did that come from, and how hard was it to choose a brand and a brand name?
Choosing a brand name is difficult. So there's a lot with kind of like trademarks and what's out there already, so it's quite difficult to create a name. So if anyone's trying to figure out a way to do it, I'd recommend something like kind of combining words, because most words are already trademarked for certain categories.
Okay. So the word that we'd all know and understand is trademarked.
Yeah. Chances are, I mean, there's different categories. So like bags are in their own category.
Yeah.
I think it's 18, and then clothing's like 25.
Yeah.
So it depends which category you're in as well. But usually most popular words are kind of covered already.
Yeah.
So if you combine words, it's kind of a bit of a loophole because you can then create almost like new words that don't exist, and you don't, in theory, I mean, there's always a chance, but you reduce the chance of having an issue further down the line with trademark problems and then having to rebrand everything.
Okay.
So with Zenscape, so the idea is kind of Zen, I want to make life on the move simple. It's the kind of Brilliant. Idea of that. And then the landscape, so people are traveling and exploring, so Zenscape combined is the idea behind that. So yeah, simple travel.
Yeah, it's a great brand name. Love it.
Yeah, thank
really
you.
Good.
Thank you.
Definitely. And what are some of the other names? Can you remember some of the other names that we came up with?
There's, I originally wanted it to be called Nomad DNA.
Okay.
So I wanted to kind of go back to almost like your kind of nomadic roots. So it's in our DNA. That was already, there's other brands kind of around Nomad already out there, as you can imagine. So this is where it goes back to quite popular kind of names. But yeah, I'd say that was kind of the first one. It was originally, what was it originally called? I originally called it University. It was like Shadow Backpack or something like that. Okay. Shadow is the kind of the black kind of dark feel. The idea was it's like, it's almost you in on another day. It kind of provides all your clothing and everything.
Okay.
But obviously it's a common like word like that. It's used. So yeah. But I'm happy with the name. I'm glad that the time and effort went into, And if you are trying to do something like this, you can always reach out to trademark attorneys and they'll usually do like half an hour to an hour phone call free with you. So I did that, did you? Yeah, I've probably called up most local trade attorneys. Sorry if any's listening. But I mean, your help was very useful, so thank you.
And you have registered the trademark?
Yes, trademark's registered, yeah.
Perfect, fantastic. And obviously you're now getting into that stage, we'll talk about Kickstarter in a moment, but I suppose what then comes in, you know, you've got product design, prototypes, market testing, and then you're into, right, manufacture, aren't you, of sourcing manufacture. What's that learning curve been like?
Yeah, so that's, it's learning a lot. So obviously, so being a product designer, I'm happy with kind of developing products, but then I'm not a textile designer. So I actually reached out to textile designers to get their opinions on bits as well, because there's other elements that I wanted to make sure the pack are basically ready to go. So you have to produce for something like this a tech pack, so a technical specification, which then gets sent off to the factory.
Okay.
So I worked with a company here in the UK.
And is that, I'm a layman on it, so is that like, to me, how can I put it? Is that like, you know, like when you buy Lego
and it
comes with an instruction about how it all comes together?
Exactly. I mean, I'm imagining like IKEA, for example. You know, you get the kind of the...
I don't want to do that. I'll have nightmares
So one of those, So it's, it's quite kind of a technical document. There's a lot of information in there.
Yeah.
I mean, this looks like a very simple bag. That's kind of the point of it. Beautiful design is simple, but at the same time there's a lot of complexities around that. So it's probably a 20 page document with everything from every single material in there, like how bits are going to go together. So it's quite a complex document, which is why I reached out to get more help with this. So I mean, I guess through the whole journey, like, you've got to use your network. It's amazing what people know and like who you can meet and what
they
exactly. So if you try and do something on yourself by yourself, you're never gonna I reached out to a textile designer, so I've had some help around that. So I had the tech pack ready, and this is where you go, so from prototypes, which are usually more like a proof of concept to prove that the bag would function correctly.
And you were doing some of that self.
Myself, some of it grant money, some of it personal investment as well. And then going to where you go with the factories, where you go more into sampling. So that's where the product is pretty much exactly how it should be. So that's all the correct materials, everything's put together exactly how it should be. So that's when you're kind of getting close to a final product. So I reckon I probably had about eight generations of prototypes.
Wow.
So it's been a lot, but I mean, it takes this, if you want to get a really good product, you need to make a lot of, a lot of prototypes. So yeah, and then moving on to samples. So I'm getting sample fours arriving at the end of the month from the factory. So yeah, it's kind of, you get the product back from them and then you go and test it and you kind of chuck it around, take it traveling. Great product, by the way, to test, as you can imagine. Four generations later of samples, it's ready to go. Right. Yeah, it's ready to go. So,
Could I, the designer in you?
Yes.
How do you nearly shut off the designer in you? Because there's a point at which if you're that keen on product and designing, you could end up refining and refining and refining But at some point, you've got to go, no, that's it.
Yeah.
Did you find that hard?
Yes, very hard. You put that perfectly, actually. That's exactly how, as a designer, there's always like improvements. I'm like, oh, that could be like this, it could be. But there's got to be a time where you're like, okay, this product works well. We need to get it out there now.
I believe in it.
Yeah,
it works.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's a balance of being like, right, it's ready to, it's, yeah, there's still areas, but yeah, this bag is now, it's ready to go. It's like, I've tested it. I've had family test it. I had friends test it. We're getting influencers now as well, involved as well. So yeah, it's very exciting to have it at this stage now.
Fantastic. And you've also been part of the Evolve Accelerator Program run at the Royal Arcadian Boscombe that David's, my colleague David is running. So can I just ask you, you know, what benefit has that brought you,
Jack? So huge benefit. So I guess a bit like I was saying earlier, with all the support and the courses that you can get, hugely helpful. The Evolve one down here in particular, I found very beneficial. I'd say the main thing is like, it's the network, like the people on the course. We actually joke, we call it Evolve Therapy sometimes.
Okay.
Because you turn up and you share what's going well, and you also share some of your problems you've been having. And also it's amazing to see how many people are having the same kind of problems, and you kind of all share ideas of how you could kind of move forward with it. So I'd say for me, Evolve's been, it's been great, because when I've had difficult times, I've gone on the course, and it's once a month, so it's a regular thing as well to kind of check up, and very helpful. And then we've also, of course, we have the speakers come in as well, can always help.
Give some expertise, some insight.
Yeah. Finance, marketing, there's been all sorts. So, and then you also get a mentor through the course as well.
Yeah.
So obviously speaking with David, and then also Lucy with marketing has been very useful as well.
Okay.
So that, having that network there is, hugely helpful.
Helped you give you that final push, and I suppose that's what you needed.
It's exactly what I've needed. I mean, even down to like, for example, like the launch party we had, there was loads of people from the Evolve Accelerator there.
Well, wasn't that? It was a great
night. Yeah, it's like we've all got each other's backs, which is really nice to have when you kind of put in your work out there and kind of, it's really useful.
Fantastic. And I suppose, how does it feel to have the product publicly visible now? Is that exciting, daunting?
Very exciting, because I've been working on it for so long.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to share it too much too early at the same time.
Yeah.
So, as in like more from kind of being copied kind of side of things. So to actually have it out here, like functioning. When I was out in Vietnam visiting the factories, I went backpacking. I took some time off to go backpacking there, and I was staying in hostels and bits. And the amount of positive feedback, I just have it hung basically on my bunk, and I wouldn't say anything. People would come in, and they'd kind of be like, what's that? And then I'd kind of open it up, and they'd be like, that's awesome. Like, where'd you get one of these? I wouldn't say like I'm associated in any way, just because I wanted to hear what they'd say. And like the feedback is, this product's going somewhere. The question is, hopefully through this Kickstarter, if not, have to be other avenues, but it's just a matter of time of getting it out there, basically.
Brilliant. I love that belief.
Yeah.
And I suppose we should talk about the funding side. So obviously, you know, product businesses sometimes get angel investment, self-funded, where you've self-funded so far.
Self-funding and grants, yes.
Yeah, and grants so far. So grants, self-funding, so you've done that piece. Now it's sometimes that kind of, you know, sell equity, or as you've got a product, it's, you know, it is the crowdfund kind of kickstarter profile type thing. What made you choose Kickstarter?
Yes. So Kickstarter is a platform which helps support independent creators.
Yeah.
So if you have a new cool idea, it doesn't have to be like products. It's also for like art, so for music, for books. So you can essentially, what you do is you put your projects up there, and then there's a window that it's live as a campaign. So in this case, for the Zenscape backpack, it's 2 months that it's live. And then you offer a discount to people who back it. So in this case, it's a 30% discount to try and encourage people to back it early. And then you have to have, so for me, I need essentially £30,000 to place the order with the factory because they have minimum order quantities for the product.
Yeah.
So obviously, huge amount of money. I don't have that much money to be chucking at this. So this will essentially, if enough people back it in the times of the 2 months, then the money is taken at the end of the Kickstarter campaign if it's successful. Yeah. And then that will be used to finance the first order. So it's kind of just a different way of financing a product. So people on the platform are generally kind of more open to new, innovative, cool products that aren't there or aren't out there at the moment, but they accept there's a longer waiting time to receive those bags or the products or whatever it is, because obviously they still will be manufactured. So this way, independent creators can still keep control essentially of the business and the direction of what they're trying to achieve.
Okay. So what's next then in terms of that business model cycle? So I'm sure the Kickstarter campaign is going to be successful. You know, what was it, 50 more days or whatever it is to go, you'd have raised your funding, you'll have your 30,000, you go and place your order, you supply them.
Yeah.
But then what's your plan to get momentum from that point?
So, I mean, I like to think as well the Kickstarter campaign is a very good marketing opportunity, right? Because
very visible.
Yeah, all these eyes are on it at the moment. But I also think the product will, once it's out there, it will sell through word of mouth. So once this first order is then placed and people can have the bags, people will then take it into the world. Yeah. And I'm hoping it will kind of start selling more and more from there. Obviously, we'll still be marketing kind of in-house as well. But yeah, I think just that first one will make a huge difference, basically. I mean, if there's, say, 300 or 500 that are sold, the reach from that will, be huge. So, yeah.
Interesting. And what's the lessons learned from going onto the Kickstarter platform? Somebody's listening to this thinking, I could do that. That's an option for me.
Yeah,
What tips and lessons would you provide, Jack?
I guess in a way it's maybe if I was to like do it again kind of thing. I think, well, the launch party at the start was hugely helpful because that kind of really boosted it. I was kind of with a community of people, some of them from the Evolve course. And that really kind of helped because people were then sharing on social media, oh, I'm at this party kind of thing, this is a new product. But I think the key is to build a following before. So it's kind of before the campaign goes live. So it's kind of a fine line because you can't show off too much before because the Kickstarter only lets you have like a preview of the page, but you can send them to the Instagram and other ways of sharing it. But building up a following before launching is really important. I kind of wish I had maybe a bit more of a following before, but I mean, it's had a strong start. So you tend to find there's almost like a curve. So it will start hopefully strong and then it kind of drops off and then it'll pick up again towards the end. So my kind of mission now is to keep that high. So I've got kind of other talks and bits that I'm trying to plan at like universities or just kind of other PR ideas that are in the works to basically, we need to get as many eyes on it as possible. That's, I guess, the key. And having a cool product really helps. So like Kickstarter, they have some of the projects they love on the platform. So they'll promote those more. So this has actually been selected as a product they love, which I think is really, really great.
It's cool.
So,
again, more affirmation.
Exactly. So,
definitely. And so throughout this whole journey, obviously, you've put some parts of your life on hold, really, at quite a young age and a career and all of that. Now, what's the effect of being entrepreneurial had on your life, Jack?
Sometimes late at night, I regret not having a normal job because it's 100 miles an hour, a lot of the time and you're working on all parts of the business. So one minute, for example, with me with the design side, I'm doing kind of a creative job and the next minute I'm sat on a podcast and it's quite a range of things that you end up doing, which can be really kind of draining. I'd also say I'm kind of very time poor. So it's trying to kind of balance your health, your relationships whilst doing that. So it has been difficult, but I've also kind of figured at the moment in my life, it's probably a good time to try and do it now. So I can kind of free up. I don't have too many responsibilities. So I think now is a good time to
scratch the itch now.
Exactly.
Definitely. And if you could go back 8 years,
Yeah.
And you could give yourself, before you started this journey again,
yeah,
one piece of advice.
Yes.
What would that piece of advice be?
One piece of advice, that's a good question. Just pretty persevere. Yeah, just persevere with it. It will take time. It's taken a lot longer than I expected. Yeah. But if you kind of stay true to your goals, then yeah, you'll get there with time.
Okay, brilliant. Persevere. Don't give up. And what could our listeners do to help support you, Jack?
Yes. So if you could go onto the Kickstarter website, you can donate £1 to support the project, so like help it trend. Or you could obviously buy one if you like the look of it. So that's Kickstarter. If you search Zenscape Travel, Zenscape. Or just have a look at our Instagram, again, at Zenscape Travel. And yeah, just if you know anyone that's traveling or might be interested in this, just go and have a look at it. Because I feel like on the podcast, you can't see the potential of it. So yeah, just go and have a look. Imagine a hanging wardrobe in a backpack, but it compresses to carry-on size. It's the future of backpacking, in my opinion. So.
Fantastic. Yeah. And other product ideas in mind?
Yes, oh, there's always ideas in mind. So I'd like to expand this out into a range of backpacks, but also into a travel brand itself as well, okay, including other accessories. So yeah, this is step one.
This is step one.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Final question, as ever on the podcast, what does personal success, not business success, but what does personal success mean for you, Jack?
Personal success. I'd say having a vision and sticking to it and then delivering that.
Yeah.
I think for me being a designer, I feel like my gift to the world is kind of creating new cool products and ideas. And I think to be able to share that is really powerful. And it's one of those things of like, if I didn't get paid to do this, but I guess I had enough money to survive, whatever, I would be doing this. Okay. And I think if I feel that way, then I know I'm on the right route for doing something that's positive and that can be shared with the world and hopefully help some people as well. So.
Brilliant. What a great perspective on life. Jack, I've loved having you on the podcast. Thank you for being a great guest.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me on it.
Thank you for listening to the Evolve to Succeed podcast. My hope with every episode is that you've learned something new or heard something that challenged your way of thinking and further motivated you on your path towards becoming a more knowledgeable, informed, and inspired individual and business leader. And don't forget, if you'd like to learn more about Evolve and the services we offer and how we can help you and your business confidently start, grow, and exit, then please go to evolveadvisory.co.uk. Please also help and support this podcast by subscribing, liking, and giving us a positive review on your favourite listening platform. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.